Happy National Day to all of us. Also, happy National Day. Think about this. Sometimes we take for granted our country until we really are in need, and you just think about it, what it is. It's a lot of challenges. Well, let's pray together first. Our Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercies given to us. Help us to treasure them rather than take things for granted. We pray that you would bless as we take time to ponder your word this morning. Teach us how we can face all the challenges of life with the strength that you can give to us. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, as I look at the concerns of the young Indian pastor who is fighting his CKD, actually, his is worse. His creatinine level is over 1,000. So that's really, really quite serious. And so they said the doctors told him that unless he gets a transplant, there is no hope. But when you place yourself under a transplant here over in that side, and you are low in your number, you know, if you are in poverty, low caste, you are doing the chances of getting one early, it's just next to impossible. So it's a really tough time going there, a lot of challenges. And poor young man is going through a lot right now. And he is just unable to do anything more than just going to every day take a 100 km train ride to a dialysis center from where he is. There's nothing nearby. And then he go down there every day, 3 days in a week, travel 100 km, 100 km back. And so he has to ask someone to come alongside with him, to travel with him. So sometimes we take for granted, we are spoiled for choices. You can pick your dialysis center, you can have one in neighborhood, you can have hospital, you can have a lot of these things here. And I think that's something that's really quite special. I had the privilege of being wheeled down in the bed. They bring it down from the ward down to the place, the dialysis center. Let you rest comfortably in your own bed and then wheel you all the way back. I mean, just absolutely, they don't want you to even scan out. Just lie down and just enjoy the ride. So I had a tour of NUH, yeah, all the time. It's just amazing. But then wheel you back, and then tomorrow do that again, and until. So sometimes we take too much for granted. Okay, well, let's look at review all the time. Always, always good to review, right? So when we take a look at Psalm 120, when we are in distress, what do we do? Then the best thing, the wisest thing to do when we are in distress, cry out to the Lord, deliver me, right? So this is distress time, a prayer for deliverance. And that's valid, right? So 120. And once we have been delivered, the best thing to do, share that. How the Lord delivered us. I think this is something that we all sort of take for granted quite a bit. Right? Then 121, we're lifting up of the eyes to the hills. Whence come? And we have help from the Lord. And that is something that we often take for granted. Why can't we just humbly ask for help? Because we are going to need that help. I mean, there isn't anyone who doesn't need help sometime or other. Right? It's just a question of realizing we need that help and we must seek that help. So 121 tells us, we are in a position of need and we cry out to the Lord, and then the Lord's preservation is there. Right? The Lord will preserve us. And the word to preserve is the same word as the word keep, shama. Literally, the Lord is going to keep us, the Lord is going to preserve us all the way through. Right? So 122. To a newcomer, over to the pilgrimage. Listen, I was glad when they said to me, let's go. And the long trip was made. And the long trip was made to go to the house of the Lord. And that is so important. We keep this house of the Lord strongly in our heart. If we only can do that, rather than not. That was something that it becomes a very central thing in your life. Unfortunately, our love for the Lord, our focus on the Lord is very often not as great as it should be. And so we lose an essential anchor and focus in our life when we don't have that love for the Lord's house. But when we do have, it keeps you going. I mean, we all understand what it means. We have our own household to keep. And we keep on going back to our household. We're going back, care for the family, provide for the family, protect the family, look after the family. It becomes our focus. Now, the same thing here. If we were to look in terms of doing what we can for the Lord's house, then it's there. And it keeps you focused. It keeps you going. It keeps you strong. And that is how they found, the psalmist found the whole idea of going to the house of the Lord. And that is going to be important. Right? So this is very important for us to think about these things here. Right? So think about this. And this is interesting because it came from David. Right? Now this is very interesting because let's go to the house of the Lord. Now, if you look at David's life and when he was running away from Saul and all that, then obviously, you know, and listen, you haven't gone to the house of the Lord for a long time. Right? Because he's away from Jerusalem. I mean, forever. He just, where is he going to be? So it's going to be a real tough time. So let's go to the house of the Lord. And it was something that was very real. And then the idea of, what do we do there? Serve the Lord. And that is the best thing to do. Right? And then, of course, 124 talks very much about Israel. And it said, okay, what do we do now? Okay? And this is true. How wonderful it is, again here of David, right? If it had not been the Lord on his side. And the Lord was on his side. There's Saul's side, David's side, however you want to argue, whose side is the Lord on? Well, whose side would the Lord take? Now, we always say we must be on the Lord's side. Well, that's a convenient answer. But the question that must be raised is the Lord on your side? And this is where 124 comes in, that he discovered the Lord was on his side. And so there is the help that comes from the Lord. And that's going to be important, right? But so this is reflective. And lots of these things here, you know. So David experienced what the people in one day in Assyria and Babylon would face, right? All kinds of persecution where he could lose his life easily. Now, David experienced that very, very much too. And so the Lord was on his side, and that's important. So now we come to 125. Now, this is absolutely important for us to understand. Okay? Now, this is one part of it that is important for us to take note of because it's a very challenging thing to be able to have. And I wish that we can have this very much in our life. And if this can be done, it would be wonderful to see this. Okay, let's take a look at this very carefully, right? Now, as we take a look at some of those things here, we ask ourselves, how strong actually are we? This is very important. How strong really can we speak of the Lord in our life? Right, so here we go. So those who trust in the Lord, now this is a whole focus on trust. That we always say we are trusting the Lord, but seriously, are we really trusting the Lord? And you'll find that most of us cannot speak of full trust or a deep trust. We, in our mind, we are trusting. In our heart, we believe we are trusting. But seriously, you won't know whether you are really trusting until you are hit hard. Then you begin to realize, are you really trusting? And you won't know. Seriously, you won't know. You think that it's like a storm. Sudden storm comes in your life. Right? What's your first response? Well, in Matthew chapter 8, the first response of the disciples, simply, they were fearful. We are perishing. Lord, we are perishing. Right? And the Lord stood up and he rebuked the wind and the waves. And then he said to them, why were you fearful, O you of little faith? But the you of little faith was already mentioned in Matthew 6. Do not worry, do not worry, do not worry. And he says, why? Because you are of little faith. Little faith was already noted, chapter 6. Chapter 8, it came up. True, they had little faith. And we often think we got great faith. You don't know you got great faith till you come to a crossroads, till you come to a storm, till you come to a difficulty. And then, okay, now are you still trusting? How do you know you are really trusting? Seriously. Right? And so the word is, you are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved. Now, I want to tell you very honestly, I also have to check very carefully in my own heart whether I am trusting all that much, right? So on top of this transplant kidney problem, I have got a few other problems which are there. Okay, one, I have a glaucoma problem, right? So I'm already on eye drops twice a day. Now, this steroids, drugs and stuff like that, they will also create a pressure on the eye. So IOP will also go up. So I had to go and check it out, and true, it went up. Right? So those of you who have eye drop, you will understand the problem. Once it goes up, and then you'll be, wait a minute, is there some damage? Yes. Some loss of vision? Yes. So now, and a second eye drop. So, question. Your heart, like Mount Zion? Unmoved? That's a big question. See, so I've got two problems to deal with. Then the third problem, of course, you probably know I have a prostate problem as well. I have a prostate cancer problem. So the doctor say, okay, let's do your PSA. What is the result? No good. Right? So the doctor says, right now, we're still not doing anything about it. Test again in a few months' time. So again here, when the blood test result comes out and they say, hey, this is not good. In normal circumstances, they will be fighting it. But because I had a transplant done, they're not going to do anything about it right now. Right? So again here, you ask yourself, your heart really steady like Mount Zion? You see, you won't know whether you're really trusting until you are faced with all these 1, 2, 3. Right? And of course, come the night, I have your special blood pressure problem at night. So by the time it comes to 9 o'clock, the blood pressure just keeps climbing up. Right? So once it climbs up to a very high level, you just got to quit everything. Don't answer email, don't do any work, you can't. Then you ask yourself, again and again, you test. Is your heart really like Mount Zion? See, it's not so easy as you think. So this whole idea of trust, it's a word we all use, I'm trusting the Lord. But deep down, you're actually worried. Right? You cannot. And so if you worry, the blood pressure also goes up. So you have to ask yourself, you tell yourself, you know, I'm okay. I feel okay. Right? And you just tell yourself, I'm cool, I'm calm. Yeah, you can say whatever you want. Measure the blood pressure and see what's your real state. Actually, it's elevated. So are you really, really trusting the Lord? That's a big question. Right? Let the data show. And if we let the data show, maybe we are not trusting as we should be. Right? So I've got four problems, not one. And they are existing problems. So how do I face them? North, south, east, west. I go face north, one problem. I go south, I go one problem. I go east and west, the same problem. So which one is right? Will there be more? Well, yes. Age will come. My prayer is, Lord, you know, I would like to keep this mind here strong and steady and sharp. And then, you know, if it happens that you want to call me home, please let me die in dignity. you know, by all means, have a heart attack and go. You know, and that will be a real mercy. So every morning, wake up, I'm still here. Lord, okay, now. But listen to the message this morning. Right? Joshua and Caleb remain alive. I want to explain what this means. This one phrase, remain alive. What does that mean for us? Why are we alive? What are we here for? Now, those are good questions to raise up. So that's the morning message, you know, remain alive. But right now, we ask ourselves, as we look at 1:25, right? So we look at deliverance, we look at looking up to the Lord, we look at serving the Lord, we're talking about in the house of the Lord, gladness, we're talking about the Lord on our side. Now, all of these things should be there, helping us to trust the Lord. But guess what? Not easy. And I don't think any one of us can say we have 100% trust. Because the fear is there, inside, lurking inside us. The concern about the future is there. The concern of what happens when we get really, right now we're still in control of our lives, so you don't really feel it. But there will come a time when you are no longer in control. And then you ask yourself, what is it that you're going to do now? And this is why trust is something we have to learn how to build now. And it's not going to be an easy thing to be able to do, very, very frankly. Right? So let's look at the idea, like Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, cannot be moved, abides forever. This is trust. In other words, you are strong, you are steady, you are focused, you are calm, right? The storm may be outside, Mount Zion remains the same. Right? You have whatever you want. You have a wind blast, you have a windstorm, you have a rainstorm, you have a hurricane, you do whatever you want. The mount remains what it is. There are people who will climb up the mountain there, they fight there, they have battles there, they cut down the trees there, they try to demolish the place. But Mount Zion remains the same. That is a tremendous picture of what real trust is all about. And guess what? I don't think any one of us have that trust. That's being real. That's being candid, that's being honest. Right? We cannot be, being human beings, we cannot but worry. We just worry. We are more prone to worry than anything else. Right? We look backwards in our, when we are young, we have no worries because we don't know enough to worry. I can do it. Then we begin to realize, actually, you're not in control of your life. You know? So I'm going to fight four battles and every day at the same time. Every single day, I'm battling this battle. So how? Yeah, people ask me about my kidney, but you miss out the other 3 points. You want me to have blood pressure, you still miss out the 3 points. So how? So this is for me to learn too. As much as for you, what I really would like to be is I want to be sure, I would like to be not moved and abides forever, right? Long before Abraham came to the picture, Mount Zion was there. Long before David conquered the place, Mount Zion was there. Long after David had died, Mount Zion is still there. It's still there, no matter what. It's still there and it remains forever. Right? So, where is the focus of it all? And this is important for us. If only we can look at what the content is all about. Now, we think about this. So the Lord, look at it, so the Lord surrounds his people. Right? From this time forth, forevermore. Same as 1:21. The Lord will keep you, will preserve your soul, going out, coming in, from this time forth, and even forevermore. Same. Right? So this is Psalm 121. And we take a look at it, you begin to realize that although we can recite this particular text, the reality of it all is that we don't really know how to practice it. You know, it's very hard to imagine how the Lord actually surrounds us. So you have to literally go through an experience like this, and then you ask yourself, do I really believe the Lord is surrounding me? Right? Does he know what I'm going through? Yes. Does he allow for all these things to go through? Yes. So what is my focus? Right? That the Lord is with me, the Lord surrounds me, no matter what. And you think it's easy. It's not. You know, because deep down inside us, we all wish, how we all wish that we would be well. So when we are praying for recovery, thank you, I appreciate the recovery. But recovery of what? Right? So you're going to pray in 1, 2, 3, 4, north, south, east, and west. Not just recovery and it, right? So you got the heart is going to be there, and then you've got to think about the kidneys, and you've got to think about the blood pressure, you've got to think about all the other aspects, you've got a cancer problem. And I've been fighting this cancer problem for decades now. Right? So it used to be below 4. Now it's 8. Now that will indicate that it is actually, its cancer is active. The question is how active? How aggressive? Frankly, they don't know. They tell me, it's all right, don't worry. He's not getting it, cancer, I am. So what do we do? Well, we have to think about this. So our focus. So in my mind, I want to be able to trust the Lord. Right? Now, do I want to live forever? No. Do I want to live to 100? No. Right? Do I even want to live to 90? Actually, no. Right? So I have to again here ask myself, how do I calibrate my life? Now, this is part of the morning's message. How long do I want to live if I have a choice? How do I want to live if I have a choice? Because you don't know. And sometimes you do not have a choice. Right? So should you be worried for me? No. Surely, I'm telling you, I'm not saying these things here, but just to help us to apply the lessons of our life against the lessons of the scriptures. The call is to be this. The call is to be focused on these things here. And the question is how. Right? Now, this is absolutely important for us to understand and appreciate. Okay? Now, this is the part of it, the trusting in the Lord part of it. Okay? This is important for us to understand. All right. Now, let's look at it now. On the practical side, or the personal side, the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous. Now, this is a very big problem. Whose responsibility is this? The scepter refers to the leadership. The scepter refers to whoever is the, in our case, because we are a republic, we are, you know, have a prime minister situation, or in other countries, you have a president, or whatever it is, or you have a chairman, or whatever it is. The real challenge is to ask ourselves, who's ruling? Now, can we determine what kind of leadership we have? And so here is the scepter of wickedness. Now, let's say that we want to trust the Lord, but there is a scepter of wickedness. And if this scepter of wickedness is allowed to, you know, rest, as it were, in a land allotted to the righteous, should it be allowed? Should it not be resisted? Now, we see this in the world today out there. When people are in power, they literally feel that they can do whatever they wish to do. There is absolute, almost a sense of impunity. I don't care, you can't do anything to me, and I'm going to get away with it. If nothing else, I can sue you for $1 billion. And you have a whole lot of leaders coming up, and what do? Now, this is a very real thing that we are seeing right now, right? And so here is the answer here. The scepter of wickedness shall not rest. Because even the righteous Once they see this scepter of wickedness existing, you know what they'll do? They will reach out and become like them. This is what's happening to the so-called evangelical church in the U.S. today. They see all these things here and they frankly, they don't care. They reach out their hands to iniquity. Right? It almost seems, you know, iniquity works. And so the righteous reach out to iniquity. If it works for him, why not for me? Why not the church? And the answer is, it doesn't work like that. It really doesn't work. Right? It's a matter of when it will play out. It's a matter of when it will blow up. But it will blow up. What is this? Right? So this is something that we need to ponder over. So on the one hand, there are those who abide in trust in the Lord and they are there. And they are literally tested. On the one hand, there is trust. On the other hand, there is misrule. What do you do? It is very sad to see this. In the past, you know, the evangelical church used to blame the Roman Catholic Church for saying nothing, doing nothing. Guess what? Right now, the Roman Catholic Church is really holding the moral standard up. And he says it's wrong to go to war for whatever reason you want to call it. That's interesting to see this, right? And all these things that we are looking at, it is the Roman Catholic Church today. Now, we're not saying they're all right in all the things they believe in. Right? But we are seeing them resisting the scepter of wickedness. Whereas the evangelical church that is supposed to hold the truth is actually acceding to the wicked rule of wickedness and joining in, justifying and saying it's all right. Now, what's happened? You see? So this state of being in a flux is a very real problem. So when we talk about what it means to be unmoved, what it means to trust in the Lord, it's not passive trust. A lot of things that, well, I'm trusting the Lord, I don't need to do anything. That's not true. There is no such concept as a passive trust idea. Right? So we have to ask ourselves, what does it do? Well, we have this case also in India. And guess what? The cockroaches come out at night. And they are the ones who dare to protest by the millions and to force the hand of the people to deal with the problem of corruption. But the question is, how far can they go? Right? How, to what extent? Very wisely, they back away from politics. Right? Because they're not ready for things like that. Straight away, the opposition says, why don't you join us? We'll be happy to take you. And says, nope, no thank you. Both sides are having the same problems. It's how you spell corruption. Whether you spell it in capitals or you spell it in small letters, it's the same. Well, all the, you don't have an answer to a lot of these things here. That's the reality. Right? But so this is a warning that is sent out. The danger is that when wickedness prevails, everybody thinks I can get away with it. If I know the law, I can get away with it. And that's why a lot of lawyers are always on the fringe. At any time, they will just step out of line and think I can use a line of defense somewhere. That's how it works. Right? So here we come. The scammers who are coming in. You know, it's almost the same pattern. Every time scammers come into Singapore, the first thing they go to all those big places, buy expensive places, and pay it with cash. And straight away, I mean, somebody's going to ring a bell. Hey, how come this person out of nowhere, 30-something years old, has all the money to do all of these things here? But they all say they do the same thing. Everywhere they go, they go to London, they go to the U.S. and buy really costly properties, you know, to show that they are wealthy and all that. It's a dead giveaway. And yet they keep on doing the same thing. You think that they'll be wise enough not to give themselves away, but they all follow the same pattern. And then all things fall apart. See, scepter of wickedness is not necessarily political. Scepter of wickedness can be in business. And you have the business people coming in, and big tech, big whatever it is you want to do. Now is a big AI thing here, or is crypto, or whatever it is. Right? Scepter of wickedness. And people are sucked in. Right? So when the SpaceX came in, wow, the first trillionaire and things like that, suddenly it falls 50%. Those who are in, okay, you're now poorer by 50%. The guy who made rich, he doesn't care. Right? He takes your money. You lost your money. It's your problem. Right? So now after that, we got space clutter. Right up there, there are more debris out there. They're waiting to fall down anytime, any place. And you hope that they will all fall into the sea, but some are not falling down to the sea. And it will suddenly, out of nowhere, something will hit you. And, you know, you don't even have insurance coverage. What hit you? The hand of God. So you can't claim. And you have a problem. And they're going to send out billions, millions more of stuff out there. There are lots of floating devices out there waiting to just die and then drop back onto this earth. And nobody seems to care. Nobody has any law about what is the law of the air, of the space. There's no law on that kind. So everyone wants to send something out. All right? So first the US, then Europe, and then now India sends out a lot of these things here and so on and so forth. Where does it stop? Right? So it goes on. So this scepter of wickedness is not always political. It's wherever there is that place of power that people think that they can wield. And the influence is terrible. And the influence will reach the righteous. You see? So how much are we trusting the Lord? Right? If the next big thing, you know, were you tempted? Well, Tesla, I better buy some shares there and see. And you come back, suddenly it dropped. And you're stuck. It happens all the time. Right? So this crypto thing here that people sell, whoever owns it are the ones who make the money. Whoever buys into it is a different question. See? But the righteous thing, I can make money out of it. I can make money out of it. So they're stuck, and they're stuck there. And they can, there we go. And lest the righteous reach out their hands to iniquity. Right, so now is the stabilizing factor. Where do we go from here? Do good to O Lord, to those who are good, to those who are upright in their hearts. Now, this is a principle that is established long ago. Right? The question is, who are the ones who trust in the Lord? They are the ones who are good. Right? To those who are good, the Lord will do good. To those who are upright in their heart, this is the one, is a picture of trust. It's not passive. The person who trusts is the person who does good. Well, you're not doing bad, but neither are you doing good. That's not the same. The question is not just trusting. The question is, are you doing good in your life? What good are you doing? Well, I didn't do bad. Yeah, I know you're not doing bad, but are you doing any good? And a lot of people just sort of, I'm not doing bad, I'm good enough. No. The question is, what good are we doing? Right? Now, this is something that we think about very, very carefully. And then those who are upright in their hearts. It all comes from, it really comes from the heart. Whatever good it is that we are doing. For example, the Lord said, blessed are the merciful. Right? They shall obtain mercy. Well, same principle. Right? Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Same principle. Right? So the question is, what comes out of it? Right? So if we really have these things in our hearts, what really comes out of it? One part of it, my focus is trust in the Lord, and I'm going to try and do good no matter what. Right? So the question is, what good am I doing? And a lot of us, you know, we think of what this whole week has passed. What good have I done this week? Nothing. The whole month can pass by. What good have I done this month? Again, nothing. Then after a while, a whole year can pass and do nothing. We are sunk if we keep on going that way. The question is, what good is it that we are doing? And if you can mark your life, then you can make this prayer. Lord, do good. As you have, so you do. This is the principle in Psalm 18, all there. To those who are good, the Lord will be good. To those who are merciful, the Lord will show mercy. Same principle. Whatever we sow, we will reap. But the challenge is to practice an active trust in the Lord, whatever it is that we are doing good. I mean, and I'm glad SSS4 is there and we are supporting the seniors program. Let's do something good. That's important, right? So, you know, the Sunday school is collecting funds for Bethel. They're doing something good. That's good. Right? So this is absolutely important for us. Whatever good we can do, let's do it. Now, there is a practice of real trust. It's not passive. Right? So we don't want to be drawn into that, into the orbit of the wicked. Under the scepter, we live right like them. Then we go back to Psalm 120. Right? I am a man of peace, but my words are words of war. See? We are conflicted again. So it goes all the way back. We want to not go there, but we want to trust the Lord. We want to be steady. Steady in what? Not steady in doing nothing, but steady in doing good. Steady in our trust in the Lord, and this is where we are. And this, right? So what happens to those who follow them? As such as turn aside to their crooked ways. Right? What will happen if they turn away to crooked ways? You know what? The Lord will lead them away with the workers of iniquity. In other words, you carry on. You just carry on doing your wicked things. The Lord is going to give you up to do whatever you want to do. But watch out for the recompense one of these days. It's going to bite back. It's going to hit you back. You think you are protected by the law, but not from the law of God. Right? So you just have to know. Not that we wish people ill. Far from it. Not that we wish evil to come upon people, but there is a divine law, there's a divine court at work, and God is a supreme judge. God is going to deal with it. So, you know what? I want to be found very clearly. Right? First, I want to be sure that I am trusting the Lord. I want to be sure that, you know, I'm like Mount Zion, they cannot be moved. Stay strong, steady all the time. Right? So, whoever rules the land must be such that it's going to be that way. But the scepter of wickedness shall not rest in the land. Now, this is a determination that is absolutely important, right? So we talk about going to Mount Zion, we're doing that, going to worship, but we also got to look who rules in the land. How does it work? Right? So if the land is going to be as God has given to the righteous, then righteousness must reign in the land. Righteousness must be seen in the good that we do, in the trust that we exercise, in the worship that we offer the Lord. It must be. Otherwise, the weak scepter of wickedness will rule. Politically, militarily, business and corporations and things like that. All of these things will just have an effect on the whole land. And the righteous will have no choice. They say, well, I want to do all these things too. They can get away with it. No, so let's get down to doing it. And so they are there. Right? So the principle of 125 is actually very, very deep. So what does it mean to really trust the Lord? And the trust is begins with the heart. Right? Unmoved, steady, committed to what? To doing good. To resisting wickedness. Right? To go against all the things which are unrighteous, which are wicked all the way. Because you know the final outcome of the crooked ways. The crooked ways, you cannot say nobody cares because God cares. Right? What will happen when we walk in crooked ways? We are going to have our comeuppance one of these days. You don't know when, you don't know how, but it will happen. God will lead them to with the workers of iniquity. Right? And the Lord will finally judge. And so we ask ourselves, what will happen? That is something that we need to think about very, very carefully. What can we do? Whatever good we can do it now. Right? So the heart remains steady, the heart remains trusting, and all the things that we are doing, they will be there and they will be a part of our lives. And the Lord will see, the Lord will judge, and the Lord say, okay, I am going to reward you according to what you have done. And that really would be wonderful. Right, so we think about all the things that we can do and attempt for the Lord. That's why we are so committed as a church. We are not just going to build Bethany. We are going to help other churches in other lands, and we will help them to achieve the things which they are able to achieve. And that is absolutely vital. And it's not an easy thing to do, right? So it's a very, very challenging thing to consider all the way through, very much, right? So this is a wonderful psalm to read. And so you have to check yourself. One, am I trusting the Lord? Two, is this a passive trust or is this an active trust? If it's a passive thing, it's not what the scriptures are teaching. It must be an active, ongoing thing. The heart is steady, but it is also very committed. To that which is wicked, we resist. To that which is good, we carry on. We do good to those who are, you know, we can pray, do good to those who are good, right? Those who are upright in their hearts, right? So the distinction between the good and the bad, the righteous, the upright, and the wicked, very clearly distinguished. And then we can talk about real trust, right? A lot of times our trust is in our head, our trust is in our heart, and there's nothing to show for it in our life. Where is the real active trust that we can speak about? And that's going to be important. There must be an active trust. And so right now I'm learning how to actively trust the Lord too, right? So I'm battling north, south, east, west battles all the time. So what can I do but trust? But it's not passive. I have to do whatever I can, whatever I need to do. Let me do my part. Right? And then we can speak about real trust in the Lord. So it's a lesson that all of us need to learn. So be careful when there are IPOs all over the place and we think I can make a fast buck. Hey, be careful. Right? Be very careful about all of these things here. How do we understand all these things? And things can go wrong. Unless you are guided by that which is good, that which is upright, and you begin to realize, you know, I'm happy where I am. I don't have to be very rich. I don't have to be anything. Every morning I'm just glad, oh, Lord, I'm still alive. Okay, the day is yours. I want to serve you. Behold, you know, the eyes of servants look up to you. So every day I begin like that, every single morning. I'm happiest when I get up and I look at it. No stroke, no nothing. I'm okay. I can get up now, and I was begin the day with the Lord. So I begin every morning, very early in the morning, and I begin the day with the Lord. But I want to have an active, positive, biblical kind of trust. So try and think about it. What good can I do today? Try. It will make a lot of difference in your life. Right? So there are many examples of people who do good in their lives. You know, if you know what they are doing and how they are doing it, follow and say, wow, this is a wonderful thing to do. And it really, really can be. Right? So when I go down to hospital, I'm very determined that I will thank all the people who, you know, they are Dracula's people, always draw blood all the time. Every week they draw blood and people... Pastor Chris wrote to me. He said, how can you stand it? He says, I go to do one blood test and the nurse asks me, are you all right? Because I'm pale all over. So I said, I do this every single week. And sometimes they draw more than one tube. Sometimes it's three tubes, sometimes it's five tubes, sometimes it's seven tubes. And do I feel pale? I said, no. I say, happily, go ahead and do it. It's, you know, I'm one of those. I just want to make it easier for them and to thank them. They measure the blood pressure, they do them. You know, and you just try your very best. Do some good. Thank them. Appreciate them. Really, really, you know, don't be upset with them. Why do we need to be upset with them? For they're just doing their job. And here we go. I mean, lots of little things we can do. I think that's enough. Unfortunately, there are out there people who are not very nice. So as you grow older, I park a little slower. I cannot imagine driving big cars. Really. So I drive a little slower. Not that it's very much slower, maybe 5 seconds slower. And the car behind, you know, there, drive by. Why it takes so long? And they give you a middle finger. What did I do wrong to you? I just want to park nicely. No, you're parking too slowly. 5 seconds too slowly. There are nasty people out there like that. So, well, to those who do good, to those who are right, those who turn aside crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them away. We just were reminded of these things here, and that's a reality. To me, I'm so glad I can drive again. Right? To me, I'm just very glad. So I drive a little slower, drive a little bit more carefully. You know, just thank God for a smaller car to drive, and just can drive at all. Just thank God. Right? So whatever you want to do, well, that's your problem. That's not mine. Right? So this is what we want to try. Really practice trust in the Lord until you practice it, until you are like Mount Zion, unmoved by anything in life. That would be great. Okay? Well, let's pray together. Now, Father, we pray that you would teach us how to trust you, to have an active, biblical kind of trust. Not one that just says, does nothing, but one that is upright, from our heart that is upright, to do good whatever we can, each day, every day, each week, every month, until it becomes a part of us, that this is our trust in you. And then you will indeed teach us how to be like Mount Zion that cannot be moved. We give thanks that we can learn these lessons of the biblical kind of trust taught in the scriptures. We give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.